everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this Shark Week special, Fantastic Facts, here on A Walk on the Wild Side, a veterinary podcast designed to educate veterinary professionals and other animal lovers on all things wildlife, zoo, and exotics. I'm your host, Kyle Kantzman, a fourth-year veterinary student at Michigan State University who loves all things wildlife and exotic. Unfortunately, my partner in crime, Maddie Chilcote, couldn't join me for today for this short segment because she's busy being pretty awesome running anesthesia on emergency surgery cases this weekend. But she sends her best to all of you amazing listeners, and she will sure be joining me again soon. Today, to celebrate the start of the famous Shark Week, we wanted to share a little bit about these fascinating creatures with a little mix of fantastic facts based on sharks in general and some related to veterinary medicine, and then play a little game at the end to put our minds to the test. Alrighty, let's dive right in. So a shark's skeleton is made up of cartilage, not bone. So while they are fish, they fall into a specific category called elasmobranchs, which includes our sharks, rays, and skates. Sharks have huge livers comparatively to their body size, and this liver is super duper fatty, which helps them be buoyant while swimming. For the veterinary professionals listening though, that up to 80% of lipid composition of the liver then is going to change the pharmacodynamics and pharmacokinetics of our drugs with elasmobranchs and should be considered when using drugs in this species. The majority of sharks must keep swimming in order to keep a continuous flow of water over their gills so they can filter oxygen out of the water and use it to keep their internal organs functioning. However, there's actually a few sharks, like the nurse shark, that have an extra organ called a spiracle, located just caudal or behind the eye, that pulls water while the shark is at rest to continually supply oxygen directly to important organs, like the brain. But for the most of our shark friends, they've got to listen to Dory and just keep swimming. The other problem when sharks become sedentary is a buildup of lactic acid. Lactic acid is a byproduct of anaerobic metabolism, or the process of creating energy when there is no oxygen available. This process occurs when there are lower amounts of oxygen in tissues, so the tissue must make energy without oxygen and produces lactic acid in the process. This is essentially what is happening when your muscles cramp up on you. Well, in sharks that aren't moving and therefore not filtering oxygen through the gills, unless they're a pretty cool nurse shark, they are relying on anaerobic metabolism of white muscle as compared to the aerobic red muscle, and this can lead to a buildup of lactic acid, a condition called lactic acidosis. This can be life-threatening, as maintaining a consistent blood pH is really important to maintain homeostasis, or the body's internal balance, and which is another reason why maintaining a consistent flow of water over those gills during movement is pretty important for sharks. Sharks' vertebrae actually can be used like trees to help age the animal. The shark's vertebra contains pairs of bands that can be used to represent a certain amount of years that the shark has lived. Now, research has shown, though, that the rate at which these bands are deposited in the vertebra is not always equal to just 1 year. So species, size, environmental changes, and other factors may actually influence how often a band pair is made. Sharks have these super cool things called ampullae of Lorenzini, which look like small dark spots along parts of their lateral line, like those near the nose and eyes, but are actually specialized electroreceptor tissue that allows the sharks to sense electromagnetic fields in the water. These lovely little Lorenzinis, my nickname, not the actual term, so don't use that and think it's smart, can help sharks actually detect prey in the water based on the electric fields they generate with movement, without the shark even actually seeing the prey itself. They can also help the shark sense temperature shifts while swimming. Pretty gnarly, if I do say so myself. Sharks and other elasmobranchs can be almost put into a trance-like state by being flipped over so their back is facing down in the water and their belly is up. This is called tonic immobilization, or TI for short, and is a common method used by veterinary professionals, aquarists, and scientists when working with elasmobranchs in order to create a safe environment for the people and to help provide valuable care to these wonderful animals. However, there is kind of some thought that elasmobranchs can almost build up some type of tolerance to TI, and it may become less effective over time. So it's still always important to put the safety of the people and the animal first. So shark skin is essentially like if you covered this cartilaginous skeleton with a bunch of cat tongues and sandpaper. So you are so welcome for that slightly disturbing picture. But actually, it's because shark skin is made up of structures called placoid scales, where the point of the scale points towards the tail and are designed to actually help decrease friction as the shark glides through the water. So maybe when you find yourself petting sharks in your dreams, not in real life, folks, just make sure to move your hand towards the tail. There are over 300 species of sharks, with the largest species being the whale shark, reaching anywhere from near 40 to 60 feet long, to the smallest little guys being the dwarf lantern shark, that is smaller than a human hand, which is pretty adorable. Sharks are some of the oldest animals still living on this planet. Shark ancestors have been recorded to go back to about 400 million years ago. And interestingly enough, based on kind of an evolutionary scale, sharks have changed relatively little since their existence on the planet. I guess if it works, it works, and it sure seems to be working for these sharks, as they are still fascinating and super resilient species. As many of you probably know from scanning beaches for shark teeth, sharks lose a lot of their teeth over their lifespan, which may even be close to 1,000 of teeth lost over time. It's even reported that sharks can sometimes replace teeth that are lost in less than a day, which is crazy cool. A pretty famous shark species, the bull shark, are one of the few species of shark that can actually survive in freshwater for prolonged periods of time. While they have adapted to surviving some time in freshwater, they won't be found in a freshwater system without some access to the ocean. Bull sharks are also one of the top sharks responsible for shark attacks, which partly could be due to their ability to be in freshwater, as well as some other factors, such as their just more aggressive nature in general. One of the most common causes of shark deaths is due to finning. Finning is a process where sharks are caught and their dorsal fin is removed inhumanely, and they are either discarded or just released back into the water without their dorsal fin. Shark fins are valuable in certain cultures and unfortunately often turn a large profit. Sharks released back into the ocean without their dorsal fin often die a tragic death, as they cannot swim appropriately and bleed out, leading to a slow death from either suffocation or severe blood loss. Not only is this practice grossly inhumane, but this can significantly change the ecosystem as the food chain is thrown off balance with this unnatural increase in shark deaths and can lead to a severe decline in a shark population. It takes most sharks many years to reach sexual maturity, therefore reproduction is slow, and sharks do not have the capability to bounce back quickly when tragic acts like this occur. All right, so let's flip it to maybe a happier and fun note, and let's play a little game for y'all. So let's play Fintastic Fact or Fake News. So here's how it works. I will say something about sharks that is either a fact or false, and I'll pause for a few seconds after for all of you listening at home to take a guess. Then I'll reveal the answer after those 5 seconds or so are up. All right, let's do it. So number one, sharks are oviviparous animals, meaning they're egg-laying species, but pregnant females carry the eggs inside her body. Alrighty, folks, so that one is fake news. While many sharks are oviviparous, some species of sharks are actually oviparous, meaning they lay their eggs into the environment, and some other species are viviparous, just like us as humans, where they give live birth. So as you can see, sharks as a whole have pretty diverse reproductive methods. Some species of sharks can even reproduce without a male fertilizing her eggs, like blacktips and zebra sharks. Now, I would say that is a true example of a strong, independent woman who ain't need no man. Minus the fact that they are not human, but we'll just ignore that little detail. All right, number two. Sharks do not have lymph nodes or bone marrow. F- fantastic fact. Sharks and other elasmobranchs do not have bone marrow or lymph nodes. Instead, they have alternative hematopoietic organs, meaning specialized tissues that produce blood cells, like your white and red blood cells. Similar to our domestic animal friends, like our dogs and cats, the thymus and the spleen help produce blood cells for elasmobranchs. But two amazing unique organs, called the epigonal organ and the Leydig organ, are found in sharks and other elasmobranchs. These organs are lymphomyeloid tissues, meaning they are capable of producing white blood cells, like our lymphocytes, and our fine and coarse eosinophilic granulocytes seen in sharks, called phags and SEGs. Alright, number 3. Sharks are responsible for the most animal-related human deaths. That is fake news. So sharks don't even break into the top 5 species for animal-related human deaths. In fact, the animal most responsible for human deaths, which I didn't even guess myself, is mosquitoes. Since these pesky little bugs transmit disease to people like crazy. All right, number 4. Sharks do not have nociceptors, or in other words, do not have pain receptors in their body. Fantastic fact. Yep, based on past research and studies, elasmobranchs, so our sharks, skates, and rays, don't have nociceptors. Nociceptors are substances that sense a painful stimuli and send signals to the brain that whatever that stimulus is painful. Does this mean that sharks don't feel pain, which would be crazy? Well, I think it's still kind of a little hard to say, and further studies need to be done to better characterize a shark's ability to feel pain, as this area itself is just understudied. I don't think that many veterinary professionals either would withhold analgesics or pain-relieving medications to a shark that is diseased or injured just because of this fact. But, interestingly enough, even though sharks are fish, their bony fish relatives, also known as the group telost fish, do have nociceptors. All right, number 5. Only around a dozen species of sharks over the 300 species total have been documented in human attacks. Fantastic fact. Most sharks actually have no record of attacking humans, and sharks in general do not set out to hunt or attack humans, despite what some things make it seem like. Of the few sharks with documented attacks, like the famous great whites, the tiger shark, mako, and bull sharks, almost all of these are due to sharks that are either confused or even curious, and the attack is almost a secondary accident. Humans may be confused with seals or sea lions for sharks that hunt these larger prey, or humans may enter into a shark's habitat and disturb or scare a shark without even knowing it. I think the main thing when swimming in the ocean, just like when you are in any other environment with wild predators, is to be respectful and knowledgeable about the animal and the environment you're in. Well, that's going to do it for this short Shark Week special, Fantastic Facts. Thank you all for tuning in, and please, if you have time, subscribe and rate our podcast on your favorite streaming platform and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love hearing from all of you and want to share our podcast with as many people as we can. Thank you everyone for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For updates on upcoming episodes and additional information on all things wildlife, zoo, and exotics, follow us on Instagram at walkonthewildside_vetpodcast and like us on Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you join us for the next episode of A Walk on the Wild Side.